You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Her Money is proudly sponsored by Edelman Financial Engines. When life gives us a financial windfall, first comes gratitude. Then comes financial planning. Because being empowered with our money is everything. To learn more, visit planefe.com/hermoney and schedule your complimentary wealth checkup today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining me today on Her Money. Today we are bringing you a special mailbag featuring, well, you, featuring our listeners, actually getting to meet some of you on Riverside, which is our Zoom-like platform, has been so much fun. Plus, what I love about these, unlike our regular mailbags, is that you get to be there to ask all of your follow-up questions. If this sounds like something you'd like to do, if you've got a question for me and you want to have a conversation, just let us know when you send your questions in to mailbag@hermoney.com. But before we jump into that mailbag, a little bit of financial news. If you've been waiting weeks for your tax refund and you're starting to get just a little bit impatient, you might want to cool your jets because some people are waiting years. Yes, years. Here's the deal. While on average, it takes about 21 days to receive a tax refund, it can, in some cases, take many times more than that. It can take years to get the money that you're owed. Why does this happen? Few reasons. The computers at the IRS flag returns and cause delays when they find that there are errors in those returns, inconsistencies, or indications of possible identity theft that require a human being to dig in and check out the situation. According to the Wall Street Journal, as of last December, there were nearly 700,000 individual returns still awaiting processing. Most were from last tax season. Most were due refunds. If you're playing the waiting game with Uncle Sam, there are a few moves that you can make beyond calling the IRS, beyond checking the Where's My Refund site that they've put up. We'll link to those resources in the show notes. The key to a better budget might be, yep, eating at home more often. According to the latest details from the Consumer Price Index, spending on the at-home food category, by that we're talking about groceries, was flat from month to month. The price increases of key food staples had moderated year over year, and we even saw prices on a few food products, butter, non-alcoholic drinks, cereals, and bakery items, we saw those prices go down. On the flip side, the cost of dining out has gone up more than 4% year over year. And what this means is that if you've had sticker shock when the waiter puts your bill on the table at your favorite restaurant, well, the data is with you. I gotta admit, it is getting to me sometimes. I look at the cost of a single entree and I think, I could feed 4 people for that much at home. And now we're gonna take a quick break. Her Money is proudly sponsored by Edelman Financial Engines. We save and invest for our financial futures because we know that even though the future may be uncertain, planning is everything. Sometimes in life, we enjoy financial windfalls, too. We may gain an inheritance, liquidate a business, or receive a monetary gift or a settlement. Even in these days of more Mega Million jackpots than ever, we may win the lottery. When this happens, we all want to make the most out of every dollar we've been given, and we can. Learn more at planefe.com/hermoney and schedule your complimentary wealth checkup today. We're back with our mailbag, and I'm going to be chatting with Amanda. She's calling in from Minnesota and has a question about opening a Roth IRA for her 14-year-old daughter, who will be getting her first job. Here's our conversation. And Amanda is joining us now. Where are you calling us from? And tell us a little bit about you.
I am calling from St. James, Minnesota. It's a very small rural town. I have a 14-year-old daughter who is my question is about today, and I'm a eligibility worker for public assistance here in St. James. And I found your podcast years ago, and we've loved it ever since. My daughter listens to it as well.
Oh, well, bringing her along early, that is great. All right, yeah. What is your question? How can I help?
Sure, my question is, my 14-year-old will be getting her first job this summer. I've heard before when a child gets their first job, they should open a Roth IRA. Do you agree? If so, what company would you recommend? In addition, she has a savings account at my brick-and-mortar bank. When I opened it up for her, I did it that way so we could actually go in and deposit money so she'd have a better grasp of how it worked. It's been a few years now, and she's got over $900 in the account. There's no plans to touch it for a few years, so I feel like it's time to roll it over to a high-yield savings account. Do you agree? And if so, what online bank do you recommend? Thank you so much for taking the time to read this and for your podcast. Because of you, I've learned so much and have been able to pass it on to my daughter, and that has been invaluable.
Well, first of all, thank you. Thank you for reading the whole thing. That was incredibly nice of you. And yeah, we can deal with all of these questions. So the reason that I sometimes suggest opening a Roth IRA when your child has their first job is that in order to qualify to have an IRA, you need to have earned income. So it can't be a babysitting job. It actually has to be a job where she's going to get a paycheck and there's going to be a record of her having earned this income in the system. So, you know, she'll get an actual paycheck with a pay stub, taxes, all of that kind of thing if she owes taxes. Is it that kind of a job?
Yes, it will be a job with earned income. Yes.
Okay. All right. What's she going to do?
She might work at one of the little restaurants we have here in town, or maybe one of the flower shops in town.
That's great. And I think a Roth IRA can be really compelling for a couple of reasons. First of all, if she puts the money into a Roth and she invests it, she has the ability to capture much better growth over time than she's going to get in any sort of a savings account, even a high yield savings account. If we look at how much the markets have historically returned, 8 to 10% have been the averages going all the way back to the inception of the Dow and the S&P, which is not a guarantee that's what you're going to get in the future, but it's better than the less than 1% that you're getting in a traditional savings and even the 4 to 5% that you're getting in a high yield savings right now. The other thing that I like about Roths is all the tax advantages. If she puts in money on which she's already paid taxes, that money can grow tax-free forever. She doesn't ever have to pull it out. She can let it grow for as long as she wants. She can use it for her own retirement. She can pass it along to her kids to use for their retirement. But it's also flexible enough that if she were to want to use it for, say, the purchase of a first home, she could actually do that. She can get at the money and she can get at her principal, although not the growth on that principal for 5 years. So there is much more flexibility and much fewer penalties than with a traditional IRA. Now, sometimes with a 14-year-old, or a 16-year-old or an 18-year-old, they're going to say, Mom, this is my money. I want access to my money. And they'll have a point, which is why sometimes parents will say, we want to make an investment in your future. So we're going to do sort of a homegrown 401k, and we're going to give you a match on your money so that you can keep some of your money as well as put it into the Roth IRA. Essentially, you're helping her bootstrap the Roth IRA. I don't know if that's something that you would consider, but it can be a little bit of a carrot for kids who want the ability to use their money for things that they want in the here and now. Is that something that you've thought about?
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
So then, yeah, I would go take her by the hand, sit down in front of a computer. Once she starts getting a paycheck, you can open a Roth IRA at pretty much any brokerage firm. I would probably look at where you have your accounts because you're going to be familiar with the online portal. You're going to understand how to navigate it. It's going to be easiest for you to teach her how to navigate it and just go with that. And she can add money to it every year as long as she continues to work, and she should. Once you've got the money in the account, you want to just invest it in a diversified way. I'd put at least the biggest chunk of it into an S&P 500 fund or a total stock market fund, somewhere that she gets great diversification at a very low cost. You can do the same with an ETF like a SPDR. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Fantastic. All right, let's turn to the other part of your question, that bank account. Before you move the money and go through the hoops required to move the money, I'd just pick up the phone and find out if that bank actually has a higher yield savings account. Some banks have a menu of variety of accounts, and you may not need to shift the money out of the institution. You may just be able to shift it account to account. If they don't, then there are a whole bunch of good high yield savings accounts out there. Mine happens to be with Citizens. It's an account called Citizens Access. I've found that to be really easy to navigate and to maneuver, and they have continued to bump up the interest rate on my account with every consecutive interest rate hike, which is a good thing to know. I do expect that as interest rates fall later this year, they will start reducing the interest rate, but that's okay. If you want to look at which of the high yield savings accounts in the land are paying the best rate of interest, you can go to bankrate.com. They maintain an up-to-date list of those accounts, and make sure that you give credit unions a look as well, because they sometimes have the highest interest rates going at any particular point in time.
Okay, I will do that.
But don't close her account at the brick and mortar bank. I would keep some money there a little bit for a couple of reasons. You're going to need a place to transfer money back to in order to get it out of the high yield savings account. And so having an account to which she has an ATM or easy access is also important.
Sure, if that makes sense.
Well, thank you for the question. Tell your daughter, good job. Thanks for listening. Congrats on her first job. And I hope we talk again sometime.
Yes, thank you.
We'll be back after a quick break. Did you know that women are more likely to outlive our retirement savings than men are? It's true. In fact, it's our biggest financial fear. And this savings gap is where the Parity Flex multi-year guaranteed annuity available from Gainbridge comes in. If you aren't familiar with annuities, the concept is essentially that you take a chunk of money and you turn it into a paycheck that you can start drawing on when you want to, next year or next decade. The Parity Flex multi-year guaranteed annuity caters to women's unique retirement needs. And with a guaranteed lifetime withdrawal benefit and flexible withdrawals, it's like having a paycheck for life. Plus, you'll also get guaranteed returns at 5.95% APY, making the Parity Flex multi-year guaranteed annuity the perfect complement to your existing portfolio. So who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for important information. This is a paid endorsement. Hey, you guys, it's Jean. I want to tell you about another podcast I think you'll love because I love it, Freakonomics Radio. Every week, host and best-selling author Stephen Dubner dives into the hidden side of business and economics and so much more. He interviews CEOs, historians, even Nobel laureates to explore all kinds of topics, like whether AI has a sense of humor and whether two CEOs are better than one. If you are curious like me and just looking to better understand the world around you, you will find it on Freakonomics Radio. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Next up, I'm speaking with Megan. She's calling in from North Carolina. Megan prescribes to the FIRE movement, that's financial independence, retire early. At the same time, though, she is struggling to maintain an emergency fund. Here she is. Hey, Megan, how are you?
Hey, Jean, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Tell me about you. Where are you calling in from?
Yeah, sure. So I'm in Durham, North Carolina, which is right outside of Raleigh, North Carolina.
Been there?
Yeah.
Lovely. And what's on your mind?
Yeah, so I wrote in with a question about emergency funds, and I actually wrote in a couple of years ago about this too. I am terrible at keeping emergency funds because a couple of reasons. I have kind of a spender's mindset. So whenever I see a wad of cash that's like super easy to access, I just want to spend it. And that's not just on clothes or travel, which, yes, those things, but also on investments. Like, I saw an opportunity to max out my HSA earlier, and I did it. And I did that with my emergency fund. And so I'm not completely lacking money that I have access to, but I don't like to have just cash sitting there for this reason. It's just like a, it's almost like a need for it to be doing something other than just sitting there. And so the spending is more about it working for me, either as in investments or in a way that's like making my life more enjoyable, paying for travel and things like that. And I know you gave some really good advice for setting it aside in a CD or trying to create some barriers between me and the money. And I tried that, and unfortunately, it didn't work. I went right back to my old ways. And so I was just wondering if there's a like other like just deeper tactics that I could use, or maybe there's like a deeper reason for this that I need to talk about with my therapist.
Well, I'm not a therapist, but yeah. But let's unpack this a little bit.
Sure.
When you say, first of all, with the money in CDs, you put it in CDs, right? And then as soon as the CDs came due, you just went and used it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And while the money was in the CDs, did it work?
Yeah, because I wasn't going to touch it because it was in a CD and I don't want to pay fees or fines or whatever it is. So yeah, it worked.
And did you think about rolling the CD right into another CD?
I think the reason I didn't is because in the moment I needed the money. And so it was kind of an emergency. I had something come up at my house that like I had to get some plumbing replaced, and like I didn't have another emergency fund that was accessible, and the CD was coming up. And so I told them like, hey, can we wait a month and then do the work? And so that's kind of why I depleted it. And then it's kind of a ebb and flow. Like I keep adding money and then depleting it and then adding money and then depleting it. I just feel like my reasons for depleting it are sus.
What other reasons for depleting it besides funding your HSA? What else is sort of on that list of reasons that you dig into that money?
Yeah. So like I said, travel too. My partner and I want to go to Ireland this year and Iceland next year. So we're planning that out. And the thing is if we want to go in August, like the best time to purchase tickets would be within the next month or two. And we haven't saved that money quite yet. We would just pay for it with a credit card and then pay the credit card off and just divert it from something else we were doing. And also when he moved in recently, there were just some things that I wanted to buy to make the transition a little easier. Like he has a lot of crap. And so I wanted to buy things that, you know, kind of hid his stuff a little bit.
Yeah.
So like storage things, like a new really nice like butcher block island. And it was like a couple thousand dollars, you know, and I just was like, hey, I have this money. Why not use it? So it's stuff like that.
Let me just ask a couple of questions about the rest of your saving. How are you doing on your long-term saving? Are you putting money into a 401k at work as well as that HSA? Are you sort of, what percentage of your income are you contributing?
Yeah, so I subscribe to the FIRE movement. So I have a 50% savings rate right now. So
whoa.
I max out, thank you. Yeah, I max out my 401k, a Roth IRA, and my HSA every year. And then I'm also putting about $1,000 a month in a brokerage account. All that money has so many barriers that I never touch it, right? So,
well, that brokerage account money doesn't have barriers, right?
It feels like it does because when I sell it, I feel like, oh, I'm selling it potentially on a down day, or I have to pay, you know,
taxes.
Gains tax, like short-term gains tax. So that feels like a barrier to me, if that makes sense.
And then the money that you are looking to fund this emergency cushion with, is that part of the 50% or is that not?
It is, yes.
Okay. And the ultimate goal of FIRE for you is what?
To stop working. I like my job, but I would like the ability to have more flexibility with my life and make work optional. And so my goal is to do that within the next 10 to 12 years.
I think that you might be pulling the reins a little tight. Let's talk about what I do with this emergency fund and the vacation fund and things like that. And then let's look at whether if you backed off to 45% savings, what that would do for your living and your goal. I think for you, clearly, separating the money into different accounts that have some sort of barriers, that is key, right? The CD work, the brokerage account works, the HSA works, they all seem to work. Right now, the money is going to be working for you if you put it into a high rate savings account, a high interest savings account, right? It's not going to be getting market rate returns, but it is going to be getting 5%. And that's significant, at least historically. And although the barricades are not as great as they are with your investment accounts, there are some barricades, right? Like if you open a high yield savings account at an institution that you don't bank with and you want to get the money back, you're going to have to transfer it to your brick and mortar bank account, which is going to take a day, if not two, to be able to access it. And that may be enough to get you to think about it. I also think you're not giving yourself enough of a fun fund. So clearly travel is important. All of these expenses to make your house a better place to live when your partner moved in, those are important. You have the money to do them. And I would set up two accounts. I would set up one that's truly for emergencies, because the things that you're describing, with the possible exception of home repairs that absolutely needed to be done, are not emergencies. And then I'd set up a separate account for things like travel so that you're pre-funding these trips and you don't have to put it on a card. I'd set up both of those at a high yield savings account. So that, why not earn the 5% interest while the 5% interest is available? We know it's not going to be available forever, but this money truly shouldn't be barricaded. And I think having the ability to get at the vacation money will keep your hands off the emergency fund. Just knowing that those two things are specific and for separate purposes will keep your hands off the emergency fund. As for the vacation that you want in August, you guys are clearly financially responsible. If you don't have the money saved and you really are intent on doing this year, you could take it out of the brokerage account and pay the taxes, or you could get a 0% credit card for the next 12 months and just get yourself on a payment plan, knowing that you're not the kind of person that is likely to use this credit card in excess. I would do it one of two ways. But I feel like you're holding on a little bit too tight and that you're not allowing yourself to enjoy today I gotta say, I am almost 60 years old, which makes me a good 2 decades, probably plus, older than you. I got a call this morning from a cousin that she's flying in for a funeral because a friend's husband just dropped dead. And I got a call like this yesterday as well. And I am not old, but the fact that I'm now at this point in my life where I'm starting to hear about people just losing their lives out of the blue, surprisingly. These were like athletes. And it makes me think that you really need to live today as well as tomorrow. So I don't know, how would that feel to you, letting go a little bit of the fire goal, knowing that you can still do it, but maybe just a little bit less aggressively?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because that is actually one of the drivers behind me wanting to reach financial independence. Is I've also heard friends of mine who are younger who have died in just sometimes freak accidents, sometimes not. And then I also witnessed my mother, who is 65, who is now retiring, and her whole career, work was just not optional at all. She had to work, and she was tied to her job, and she kind of hated it a lot of the time, and it stressed her out. And now she's finally feels like she can live her life. And I was like, I do not want that. That's why I wanted to reach that savings goal so much. I also feel a little bit behind. You know, I'm 37 and I only have $130,000 in my investment accounts. And that, to me, that feels behind, especially for the FIRE community, right? There's a lot of people my age who are already in the millions. But on the other hand, I see exactly what you're saying. And I think actually, tactically speaking, separating the savings accounts, I mean, that feels like a duh, because I am putting all of my cash into one account, like one account that's right there with my checking that I can just funnel into my checking when I need it. But yeah, I think even at a 45% savings rate, that's still really good and still would get me to my goal. I think living for today is super important. And I think sometimes I lose sight of that. So I thank you for drawing me back to that.
Sure. And it doesn't sound to me like you have the same relationship with your work that your mother had with hers.
No.
That you kind of like it, and maybe you'd like to find a way to do it more on your own terms, mm-hmm. even before hitting full fire, right? That's possible, right? I just had a podcast interview with a woman from a community called The Financial Diet, where they've got a 4-day work week. And we were talking about Bernie Sanders and how he's pitching a 4-day work week in Congress, right? There are opportunities to find the flexibility maybe in what you're doing today.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. I think in the FIRE community, they call that barista FIRE.
Yes.
you work at a coffee shop. Yeah, or whatever you want to do. But yeah, that's a great point too.
Yeah. So anyway, I hope it helps. Let us know how it goes. Thanks for the call. It was fun.
Yeah, thanks for answering my question. I'll send you a screenshot when I get to my emergency fund goal. That'll be my keeping me on point, knowing that I have to send that to you.
Just a word about the emergency fund goal.
Yeah.
Because I just get this sense that you're like this. When you have an emergency, use the money.
Okay.
Because you're going to get to your goal and it's going to be so spectacular. And then the transmission's going to go and you're going to be like, I don't want to use the money.
Yeah.
Use the money and replenish it. And it'll be easy for you to do at that point.
Okay. I promise. I will do that.
Good.
Thanks, Jean.
Thanks. Thank you so much for joining me today on Her Money. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to our show at Apple Podcasts. Leave us a review. We love hearing what you think. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Edelman Financial Engines. Her Money is produced by Haley Pascalides. This show is mixed and mastered by CDM Sound Studios. Our music is provided by Video Helper, and our show comes to you through Megaphone. Check out our new podcast, How She Does It with Karen Feinerman, for intimate cocktail party style conversations with today's most talented female leaders. This podcast is also part of the Airwave Media Podcast Network. You can find us and other shows like us at airwavemedia.com. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk soon.